I know it's a relief to be heading into longer days and shorter nights, but hurrying it along with stealing an hour away from us, is that really necessary? So, before we get too excited about emerging from the long nights, let's consider the dark. Genesis says that darkness came first, then God spoke light into existence, and then the light was separated from the dark. Somehow, darkness became synonymous with the sinister, the dangerous, evil, or obscure. Light, we've been told, is all that is good and right. We think we need light to purge the darkness, and we strive for enlightenment. Barbara Brown Taylor, however, reminds us that new life starts in the dark, whether it is a seed in the ground, a baby in the womb, or Jesus in the tomb. It starts in the dark. Lately, though, the world at large feels like all we usually equate with darkness: disregard for human dignity, an indifference for the rule of law, egotistical and authoritarian leaders who think diplomacy is a card game, and that aligning with dictators is to our benefit. Each day, a new wound. It feels like part two of a three-part trilogy. You know, like the original Star Wars trilogy, The Empire Strikes Back, when Luke realizes the evil Darth Vader who cut off his hand is his father. Or when Christian Bale, as Batman in The Dark Knight, takes the blame for crimes he didn't commit, allows his reputation to be tarnished, and recedes into the darkness, leaving those behind to believe he's dead. Or The Two Towers, which ends with Frodo and Sam deep in the dark lands of Mordor, nearing Sauron's domain. By part three, all or most is set right, but in part two, no one knows the outcome. And isn't that where we are, in this messy middle where we can't see the outcome? Day after day, we wonder what will happen next. Only this isn't a movie we're watching. We seem to be living through dark times. I've read two books about darkness. One is titled The Dark Night of the Soul, subtitled A Psychiatrist Explores the Connection Between Darkness and Spiritual Growth by Gerald May. In the book, he explores the 16th century theology of a priest, John of the Cross, and a nun, Teresa of Avila, who were close friends in the Carmelite order. John spent time in jail because of his allegiance to the Carmelites, even spending time in solitary confinement. He wrote a poem titled The Dark Night of the Soul, where he celebrated the dark. The second book, Learning to Walk in the Dark by Barbara Brown Taylor, a former Episcopal priest, writes about what she learned from the dark, literal and metaphorical. She explored complete physical darkness while caving, had a restaurant experience which simulated eating as a blind person. She contemplated the phases of the moon and referenced her own dark night of the soul in which God seemed absent. These books have helped me navigate my own dark night of the soul, though I did not call it that at the time. I did not call it that at the time, but she helped and helps me reconsider darkness, perhaps as a friend. Before reading these books, if I had ever thought of a dark night, it would have been a place of fear and trembling, a place maybe of temptation and evil. It would have been part two of the trilogy. My personal experience of a shifting faith that I now equate with my own dark night of the spirit is happening exactly as Barbara Brown described hers. She writes, "Once you have emerged from whatever safe religious place you were in, recognizing that your view of the world is one worldview among many, discovering the historical Jesus, revolutionizing your understanding of scripture, and updating your theology. Once you have changed the way you do church, once the Dalai Lama starts making as much sense to you as the Pope or your favorite preacher, and your renovating encounters with the divine reduce all your best words to dust, well, what's left to hold on to?" I do not believe I'm describing a loss of faith in God here. Instead, I believe I'm describing a loss of faith in the system that promised to help me grasp God. Aren't we all questioning systems right now? John of the Cross describes his experience this way. The dark night of the spirit releases attachment to rigid beliefs and ways of thinking. When the spiritual life feels so uprooted, it can be almost impossible to believe that what's really going on is a graceful process of liberation, a letting go of old limiting habits to make room for fresh openness to love. Releasing attachment to rigid beliefs and a graceful process of liberation. That's what my soul has been going through. Though it hasn't felt very graceful, it's been clumsy, and I'm still stumbling through it. But instead of being a godless place of despair, my dark night has come to be a place of transformation and self-discovery. The dark night has brought me to a truer understanding of how to be in the world during the day. It's given me the understanding and acceptance that I don't have the answers. Often truth is obscure, and there's not one way to believe. This dark night has, in fact, brought me to a deeper understanding of love. And love is what our culture desperately needs. We saw the transformation, we don't have it anymore, at the love service. Our giving away transformed all our hearts into a beautiful butterfly. This is not meant to say that all is butterflies and rainbows. Our culture is rife with toxic positivity. We're obsessed with looking for silver linings or looking on the bright side, rejecting negative emotions of trying to adjust our own or others' mindsets. We're sincere in trying to make it better, but this positivity dismisses the pain and suffering of others, is a denial of the truth of human experiences. It's spiritual bypassing and borders on gaslighting. But our focus is the transformation. Remember, a butterfly in nature starts as a caterpillar, builds a cocoon, liquefies itself, and then emerges wet and weak from the dark chrysalis. Transformation is a messy process. But maybe we can reclaim darkness, both personally and societally, as a place where transformation is possible, and perhaps learn to trust the dark. Not in the spiritual bypassy way, but in a way that acknowledges the hard stuff and sees a way through with love, perhaps even with joy. Dr. May writes about the hope we may be able to find in our dark nights. Maybe some, perhaps many, of the troubles we experience collectively are really manifestations of a communal dark night of the soul. If so, then some of the turmoil we experience in marriages, families, organizations, or cultures might not be due to something going terribly wrong. It might be a sign of something going exquisitely right, of divine action carrying us darkly through spaces where we would not and could not go on our own, toward a place of greater freedom and love. There's no way to be certain, but the possibility leaves me with a glimpse of incredible hope in situations that seem the most hopeless. As we continue our relentless struggles to understand what's going on and to fix things to the best of our ability, perhaps the dark night of the soul is always going on as well. Maybe sometimes, in the midst of things going terribly wrong, something is going just right. But that's the devil of it. There's no way to know for sure. All we can do is hope for the dawn. This view does give hope, but not much certainty, though maybe we can trust whatever darkness we are feeling, individually or collectively, that the efforts we make, the actions we take towards change will not be in vain, but will move us toward new life born from the darkness. And maybe we can find, like Sam Wise Gamgee, the good worth fighting for. I end with a blessing written by Kate Bowler. When goodness is hard to find, bless you who are witnessing the crumbling world, the disasters too fresh to mend, the losses that will not be restored, the cracks that will never be filled. Blessed are we searching for hope, peace breaking through like dawn, for the hungry to be fed, for pain to be relieved. Blessed are we who dare to dream. Parents might not fear for their children. Leaders might guard their people. Someday relief will come. a world where death is swallowed whole and tears dry forever. Here in this unfinishable life, we bring our burdens, so heavy, to hands strong enough to carry them. Blessed are you walking the path of courage, finding improbable love, improbable ways to love, offering creative acts of mercy, and practicing irreverent defiance of despair. Blessed are you who create beauty in this world. May you carry this quiet revolution into a world aching for signs of hope. Blessed are we, trusting somehow, even now, today could be a sign of good things to come.